The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to We the People. You are joining Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And Lisa.
And Lisa, our parent guest. She's a volunteer and a guest. And she's the one who knows about the topic. So it was pivotal that we bring her in.
She's going to keep us straight.
Because the only thing you know we know about dyslexia is just, okay, nothing. There you go. That's how much I know. But we're going to learn. It's going to be great today. Yeah. So let's see. First hour, we're talking about a bill in California that has to do with dyslexia. But moreover than that, the issue of dyslexia, because there were some really basic things that that I learned about right out of the box. I knew I didn't know anything, that the schools actually don't say that kids have dyslexia. Like, what? They've had this forever. So anyway, the schools don't term it that. Which is kind of where the problem begins. So we're going to talk about that. Second hour, we are going to be on the phone with Aviv. I don't really know how to say his last name. We're going to learn about that. It's R-E-G-E-V. It's fairly short, fairly straightforward, but I don't know how I pronounce it. And he is in a film called Beneath the Helmet. It's from high school to the home front, and it's all about the Israeli army. But not the Israeli army after you're already in and down the road and all the politics. It's about what happens when you leave high school and everyone goes into the army.
Yep. The process.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it's an entirely different cultural norm, honestly. Everybody goes into the army.
Everybody goes in.
So that's an entirely different deal. So we'll be doing that. Let's see. By way of information, you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. And the website has everything about, it's got a ton of links for the first half of the show. And it also has links to the film for the Beneath the Helmet. It has links to that in the second half. All that stuff is on there. We also are airing now on WNJC 1360, the Conservative Commandos Radio Network. That's Wednesdays from 1 to 2, and that would be in Philadelphia and all the way out to the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, that's when I pick up my accent.
Yeah. The second hour ability second changing half. His vocal changing. Pattern. Nutcase.
Yeah, well.
Another
one.
Yeah, an hour of the show's going that way. So if you have ideas for programs that would be of interest to people all over the country, and or you have friends, relatives, folks that live on the East Coast, and they're like, well, hey, we need some shows about this or that, email us. So go to wethepeopleradio.us. You have an email for Bill. You have an email for Aaron. You've got phone numbers. We're pretty, we hide right out in the open.
I have my own email?
Yeah, you do.
I better answer
I
that.
Know, yeah. Okay, you should email me. Email me. You could call Bill. He's not really all that great with the phone either.
I'm pretty good on the phone. Bill's, I will call you
Bill
back.
Bill cooks, though. So, you know, and he's tidy. So yeah. He
so
makes
if you've got any recipes, I'd be interested in that.
Don't get me started.
Sorry.
Okay, so we've got that. There was one other thing that was, I know. Since we are privately funded, I was going to direct you to the sponsorship page, too. And now that we're airing on the East Coast and we have a much wider net that we're casting, the website's pulling about 3 million.
We wish.
Well, Freudian slip. About 3,000 hits.
That's next week.
A month. So it gets really good traffic. We're also very, very prolific on Twitter, which is how the East Coast Station found us. Wonderful. So if you know folks that have an online component to their business, something outside a brick-and-mortar store in one particular location who would like exposure, we're open. And it doesn't have to cost them a bunch. We can tailor this to whatever they want. So we can send it out in our email blast. We can talk about them on the radio. Lots of good ways to get out there. And if you just want to keep conservative radio alive, just go on there. We've got a PayPal link. You can do 10 bucks a month. You could do 10 bucks one time. You could do, you know, that 3 million. That could be you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this world, what'll 10 bucks get you anymore, right?
Well, you know what? It adds up. It's kind of funny.
Does.
So we're basically supported by our listeners, and I hope you put this on Facebook, shoot it out on Twitter, and honestly, I got to tell you guys, I could do a whole commercial on Twitter. So for all of you that are thinking, oh, Twitter Schmitter, you know, what a pain, another new thing, irritating, takes time. No, it's simple, and it's extremely effective because people who use Twitter click on the links, follow stuff, and they're hungry for information. It's not as slow as Facebook. And if you walk away from it for a month, nothing piles up. It's the ultimate tool. So, there's all my spiel.
I can even use it. I got on it the other day and tweeted.
I saw that. Bill is on Twitter for the first time. They sent me a little note. They're telling on you.
I know.
But we all know we're being fully supervised on the web anyway, so that's not really all that shocking. Okay. So those are all our notes and info, except for the phone number, 530-605-4567. And if you're listening online, it's right on the front page. And so if you're pretty much not listening online, you should go online.
If you have dyslexia, that might be a problem.
There's no P in dyslexia.
Oh. Another Freudian slip.
It is no longer called dyslexia. They got rid of that part.
Hey, when I went to school...
At least I told you it was going to be hard. It was going to be difficult. Bill went to elementary school in a place called The Bend. In the Bend, they called King Tut Technocticon. Whoopsie. So if you had any special needs there, you were out of luck, pretty much.
I survived.
So, are we all good? Did I forget anything? I had quite the laundry list. Bob, how are we doing?
I think we're all good.
Okay, right on. So I think he's already, have you already called Lisa? Our other Lisa?
Oh, I thought this was Lisa.
No, we have multiple Lisas. Oh. We have a lot of Lisas today. We're Lisa'd up.
So we're having Lisa and Lisa.
Yep. Okay. So if you would call her, she's right there on your purple post-it note there.
Momentarily.
Okay. Lisa in studio.
Yes.
Lisa the mom. Talk to us about this. For folks who maybe don't have kids in school anymore, or who did and didn't figure out their child had a problem and don't know anything about this, why should they care? How does this affect everybody?
So 1 in 5 students struggle to learn to read, write, and spell. And sometimes it's identified and sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
There are proven interventions that help them. And we... The other term for struggles in reading, writing, and spelling is dyslexia.
Okay.
A school will, if identified or qualifies for special education, they'll use the term specific learning disability.
So if a kid actually has dyslexia, what does that mean that they do? You know, what's the...
Yeah, the symptoms to look for.
For all of us dum-dums, what is that?
The symptoms to look for when they're really young is difficult reading single words, such, you know, like on flashcards and things like that. They'll have difficult connecting sounds and letters. They'll confuse small words like at and to. They could have reversals of B's and D's when writing.
Mm.
But I have met adults who tell me they can have reversals with J's and G's.
What about numbers? Do they switch numbers around as well?
That can be a component of it. And if it's truly a numbers issue, they can use another term called dyscalculia.
Oh. It's like bad calculator?
Dys. Oh, I wish. I don't know if Lisa can hear me right now, but dys, if we know, dys means something in Latin. And I'm not recalling it at this moment.
Lisa, feel free to jump in anytime.
All right. I have students that actually, regarding the numbers, that will confuse like 9 and Q. And also you have inversion. So W and M can also be...
So it could go upside down, backwards, forwards.
Mm-hmm. And M's and W's can be tricky for some students.
Yeah. Lisa, we need you to speak just a little bit louder or get closer to your phone, if you would.
Okay.
Bob's got your sound all the way up, but the higher we do it, the more it like has this weird fuzzy sound in the background.
And Lisa, can you tell us where you're calling from? What part of California?
I'm calling from Southern California. I'm in Orange County.
Okay.
So we have North County, North California and Southern California represented here.
All right. And so you are a parent member of decodingdyslexia.com. Sure, easy for me to say. I have on here on the website, but for folks that aren't looking at it, it's a network of parent-led grassroots movements across the country concerned with the limited access to educational interventions for dyslexia within the public education system. We aim to raise dyslexia awareness, empower families to support their children, and inform policymakers on best practices to identify, remediate, and support students with dyslexia. So it's a pretty straightforward mission. I mean, it's not all that...
We wanted to keep it simple.
Not asking a lot. So how is it that we don't already have dyslexia figured out in school? How has that happened? Lisa in Southern California, do you have any history on that?
I wish we had an answer for you. I went through Dyslexia Training Institute, and I read this article, and it was talking about how dyslexia, it was 102 years ago that it was first identified, and the person initially called it word blindness because of some of those things that Lisa was talking about, how they don't see things like the prepositions, or they might guess at words that have the first letter, will guess another word that's very similar. And I don't know why it is. I think it has to do with some of the IDEA laws that came into effect that didn't necessarily include. Actually, the federal law does include dyslexia. It's the states that have fallen behind.
Interesting, and usually the federal government is the big disappointment, so odd. And Toby online here, I just finally logged into the chat. Little FYI, one thing I left off my list. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you will see a brown bar across the top, and it says during the program from noon to 2 here west on the West Coast time, you just click that, and that will take you to the chat room. It's a great place to put in information and ask questions. So, Toby, being the smart person they are, tells us that dys, like for the dyslexia part, dys means difficulty. So that's what we were after earlier, and they were trying desperately to tell us, but we actually had to be logged in to read it. Early symptoms, delayed speech, chronic ear infections, and difficulty rhyming.
Hmm. Very true. So a student I know used to say era boa versus bow and arrow.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes they'll have sequencing issues. So like era boa, bow and arrow, and sometimes they have issues with spaghetti, hamburger, those types of
multiple enunciating syllables, they of words. Switch around.
And sometimes it's going to show up with a speech evaluation first. And thank you, Toby, for being on chatting live with us right now. We appreciate it.
We're always happy for the input.
Yes.
The multiple input. We just have to be watching.
If Toby has any thoughts on why she thinks it's not being addressed, feel free to type it in for us.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break so everybody can reconnoiter here. We will all be online when you come back with us. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back with the Lisas. We're talking about dyslexia and what's going on in California legislation, actually. Welcome back to We the People. We the People are getting situated here still 25 minutes in, and we're still situating.
We got dyslexia.
All right, we got all our microphones up. We've got our computers on.
One thing I wanted to say before I forget.
Well, Bill's got his headphones on, so now he's all reared up.
Oh, yeah, I'm professional
now.
Do I look good?
Go, Bill.
I look?
You do. You look awesome.
I know someone who is a very successful business person that has dyslexia. You would never know it. So anybody out there that's, you know, challenged with that, it doesn't necessarily hold you back.
And I am thankful that you've brought that up, because they do have gifts and they're totally talented. And there's a wonderful website called Dyslexic Advantage. And there's a book about the advantages of being dyslexic. And they are our future entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you know, NASA and Google recruit them. And
really?
Yeah.
I did not know
yes,
that.
Yes. And a lot of our actors, like Fonzie and Tom Cruise and Whoopi Goldberg, and their list goes on.
That's a very divergent group.
There's amazing people who, and they're surgeons and they're doctors. So we don't want to leave out 20% of the population who can do amazing things for our community.
Oh, this person is an avid reader.
Yes.
And like I say, owns his own business, has had his business his whole life. And I think maybe part of that was because he had trouble working for somebody else. And so he just did it himself.
And did I mention entrepreneurs?
Yes.
High percentage of entrepreneurs, like Virgin Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just see things a little bit different.
Which is a strength.
Yeah.
And they're out-of-the-box thinkers.
Right.
And they're totally gifted.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be a disability.
But the public school system really, you know, all those things you just said, out-of-the-box and the rest of it, they find that irritating. Get in your chair. You know, which is why we've got, you know, tons of kids on medication and stuff like that. And
well, isn't that usually the first response with a lot of folks?
A lot of times.
Is you want to medicate them because they're different.
My nephew, who just cleaned up on the academic decathlon, cleaned up statewide. The winning school, he had half the points of the winning school. He's a great runner. He's funny.
Oh,
but,
yes.
Yeah.
And that's important. They are athletic. They're mechanical. And Toby has typed in 3D visual spatial skills. They're very, very creative. And we're thankful that Toby's joining us today. And then, Lisa, is there anything you want to add to that?
One of the great books, Ben Foss, he says that there was a study that said that 35% of American entrepreneurs are dyslexic. And the book that you mentioned actually describes why that is, how they can see things and kind of predict things because of the way that they think. And my son actually got into a school because of his thinking, the three-dimensional thinking. He got into a special art school. He's in seventh grade. So
interesting.
It's pretty amazing what they can do.
And then one thing we wanted to make sure that parents, educators, students knew, that there are interventions that can help them. There are multi-sensory interventions, and some of them they have different titles, you know, but it's called multi-sensory structured language programs that are available. Some of those titles include Linda Mood Bell. Some of those titles include Orton Gillingham instruction. And Lisa, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that it's important that the intervention, a lot of times is called an Orton-Gillingham approach. It is, you have to have specific training, so you can't just bring in one visual thing and say that's multisensory. It's very systematic, so that someone goes through and learns about a syllable type. There's seven syllable types. And then they move to the next one. They don't move to the next one until they have the first one down. So it's very systematic and sequential. It's also explicit. So it explains, you know, a G says J after E, I, or Y, that when we were learning English, we didn't know that. It just sort of innately happened. So part of this instruction is it's very specific and very explicit.
That's the tricky part. So you have a whole bunch of kids moving on, and then you have a few kids who aren't moving on. So, okay, you're a parent who doesn't know anything about this, and like me, I was a parent all of a sudden at 21, 22 years of age with a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And the 7-year-old really, I believe he probably has dyslexia, because I actually at one point had him tested for a learning disability, and the school said, no, he's fine. But struggled in math, all these things that you're saying. And, you know, over the years, I've learned that probably that this was his issue. And he wound up doing very poorly in school ultimately, but like your list says, had very good social skills. He was creative. He was artistic. He had all sorts of things like that. But when it came to the reading, slow as molasses. And when it came to, for heaven's sakes, word problems in math, that was like the, you know, disaster struck. He couldn't pull all that together. So probably should have been identified. Would he have been pulled out of class? Is this a program you can do in class, or is it something you have to be separate?
Well, I have a feeling that we're all going to have something to say on that. So something that Toby highlighted, which we totally agree with, Lisa and I,
Toby,
for
sorry.
Sure, is that these interventions can help all students. So there are ways to instruct the whole class or have a language-based school that focused on that. And in some areas, they're fortunate enough to have it. In Shasta County, we have very, very limited resources. And I have a feeling like Lisa will probably have more to say about that too. The multisensory helps all. So that would be an amazing thing if we could make some quick changes. Well, more than that, because training is involved and things like that. But some cultural changes within education to help those students, the 20%, but also it helps ESL students, English as a second language student. So it helps many, many people. It's not just going to help your dyslexic student. Also, I think it's really important to note that they can, what's called, we have eye reading, which is with our eyes looking at books and things like that, but we also have ear reading, which means they could visually see it on like an iPad, and then they could hear it through their earphones, and that will help with vocabulary building and things like that. But the question you asked, Lisa might want to respond to.
Okay. When we come back, we will have her respond to that. Lisa, you've got a couple minutes to mull over your answer.
Okay.
You know, how can we best do this? Because there are probably a lot of people out there that are frustrated with their child because they're not doing well and they don't know why. There's a real reason for it. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back within 2 minutes.
Basketball game. Drinking beer, kicking ass and kicking down me. Well, I top down, get around, shooting the line. Summer is here and Johnny's beating the sign. But Johnny can't read. Summer is over and he's nothing to see. You know that Johnny can't read. He never learned that.
Welcome back to We the People. You're joining Aaron, Bill, Lisa, and Bob here in the studio, and we have Lisa in Southern California on the phone with us. We're talking about the subject of dyslexia. So, Lisa in studio, why don't you reiterate where we're going with this, since you know what you want to talk about.
Okay, so I believe Lisa in Orange County will be answering what can parents do if they don't know anything like...
So you brought up an excellent point about the testing, because we met with our legislator and they asked the question. We had about 15 parents, and they asked how many people in the room have an IEP, an individual education plan through special ed, and only a couple people raised their hand. And I countered with the question, how many people have been tested and were not qualified for special education? And almost every single person in the room raised their hand. Those that didn't, you know, raise their hand the first time. Some of the issues that we're facing is that the kids are not being identified for special education. They don't have behavior issues. And one of the reasons that the bill, the AB 1369, has come about is that kids are falling through the cracks. So they, maybe they're tested and they don't get an IEP, but if they don't get an IEP, what do they get? So in California, one of the things that the schools offer is what's called RTI. Special Ed has 10 zillion acronyms. It stands for Response to Intervention, which is supposed to be an intervention to help with a bridging of academic gap. So this is a general education intervention that's supposed to bring the child up to grade level. So that's the whole purpose of this RTI intervention. The problem is that the intervention did not match the need. So a lot of times they're not giving this multisensory evidence-based intervention. I just spoke at a board meeting, a school board meeting the other night, and my analogy is this. If you have a mechanic who's given a curling iron and a glue gun, you're not going to get very far. They need the right tools. So right now in California, with all of the changes in education, many of the schools are developing another acronym, MTSS, and it's stands for multi-tier system of support. And the idea is that if a child's struggling in reading, that they have an intervention in general education that's going to help bring them up and support them. And the advocacy is for this particular intervention to be part of every single school district's program. I mean, I had a situation where an RTI, this intervention, was given for a year and a half, and it made, I don't want to say zero difference, but it did not do what it needed to because they were using a curling iron.
And that's a long time, a year and a half to burn in a kid's education. That's you're too far behind in some cases to catch up, depending on how far behind they were to start with.
And the secondary consequences of that is emotional, psycho-emotional.
Yep.
You've got kids that are trying to do, they're trying to keep up. They're not able to, there's so much to say.
Sure, when they're little, it's not that big a deal because everybody's sort of doing their own thing. But by the time you get out of elementary school, you're headed to junior high, you stick out like a sore thumb.
Well, and on top of it, these students have average to above average IQs. They're very aware of what's going on around them.
Yeah, I would imagine that just adds to the whole.
Is there different levels of dyslexia? I mean, could you have like a mild case or a severe case? Or how's that work?
Certainly. You can have a mild case. You can have a severe case. The more severe cases might actually involve where you're, I can't think of the word, Lisa, where you have difficulty writing.
Yeah, dysgraphia.
Dysgraphia, thank you. Another dys word. They might have very severe dysgraphia, and that's a physical writing
difficulty
issue.
Difficulty with writing, okay.
And the other thing is, I find that there's some kids who learn to read. They use some coping strategies to learn to read. So their reading is below average, but they're able to get by. And then what happens in middle school and high school is their writing. They can't spell worth beans because that aspect hasn't been addressed.
Yeah, I could see that. Toby also brought up a good point that 80% of the prison population is illiterate.
And we also have stats on the website from John Corcoran's foundation. 42 million people cannot read. Healthcare costs are affected because they cannot read. Poverty, 43% of adults at the lowest literacy levels live in poverty. That's 3 out of 4 food stamp recipients perform in the lowest levels of literacy. 90% of welfare recipients are high school dropouts.
How do you relate that to dyslexia, though? I mean, how can you...
Literacy and dyslexia?
Right.
20% of the population struggle to read, write, and spell, 1 in 5.
Okay.
And if we can identify early, offer appropriate interventions, provide testing and classroom accommodations, assistive technologies like audiobooks, so that they can access grade-level curriculum at their IQ ability...
Sure.
We could turn these outcomes around.
Well, and it's not reinvent the entire school system. It's not really that hard. If you know what you're dealing with, and you're dealing with professionals that are trained to teach, so you add a few or more tools to the toolkit, and you... So
I think Lisa...
Okay, so why are we still talking about it?
Well,
I mean...
Exactly. Well, and that's why there's parents, fortunately, that are standing up and starting to share their concern.
That explains why you guys are doing
and
this.
And thank goodness for Decoding Dyslexia, the grassroots movement, who have pulled parents together. And in California, we're working on the AB 1369 bill, and I'm going to let Lisa talk about it because she's way more versed in it, and maybe Toby will also chime in as well.
Toby is behind the scenes, but she is amazing. She's helping us with this bill. So there's four tenets to the bill, and it's basically one is the definition. It defines it and basically will allow school districts to use the word dyslexia because it's defined under specific learning disability, and then they have to state what it is. So they'll be able to put dyslexia on there. The second is screening. So the bill, AB 1369, allows for annual screening, kindergarten through third grade, with the idea that we're going to catch all those kids in the gap, hopefully. And then there will be a notification to the parents. That's an issue, is the communication. It outlines this specific intervention that we've been talking about, an evidence-based instruction. And then the last thing is teacher training, because, as I said, you can't really do this intervention without training. And the training expectation is not just for special education teachers, but for general education teachers and psychologists. It's really important that the training be for identification of risk factors and what you see in the classroom. I mean, we have a teacher that speaks a lot, and she said that she's been a teacher for 30 years, and only in the last couple of years did she realize about dyslexia, and she said she wishes she could have gotten all those kids back. So it's about identification and also being able to provide the intervention.
So I can, you know, I always try to, in the back of my head, listen to the people who are not speaking on this program. And so I'm thinking, all right, if I was listening to this, I would be thinking, well, okay, you have a lot of parents who don't know anything about it. A lot of parents resist their child being labeled as having any kind of a special need. That's a big deal. That actually is why I quit teaching. I had parents who required their kids to go on to junior high when they had failed my English class. And because they had pull in the school district, the principal changed their grade. Those kids eventually either wound up in continuation school and or dropped out. So you have parents that are kind of a problem. Can this be done? I don't know how easily is the right measure, but how tough would it be to integrate these kids into the regular school day if the teacher had the tools to do this, what is it called,
multi-sensory
teaching process? How many of these kids could stay in regular class if their teachers had that skill?
A dyslexic child doesn't need to be in a special day class.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
It's actually...
Because they're not special ed in the sense that they...
Yeah.
Because of
the
IQ.
They have an average to above average IQ.
Right.
They have a print disability. And with the appropriate accommodations and assistive technologies and interventions, they can do amazing things.
What does interventions mean?
The intervention is the...
Like you say that there's an issue and you deal with it?
No, the intervention would be...
In the papers you gave me that I gave to Bill?
Multi-sensory structured language program.
Okay. All right.
So those types of interventions. And then assistive technology.
I think you're right. They think the label is difficult. I interviewed several kids for our dyslexia awareness, and I asked them the question. I said, what did you think when your parent told you you had dyslexia? And the range was everywhere from surprised, grateful, relieved. There was no child that said... That was horrible. They were all glad to know.
Because they knew something was wrong, they just didn't know what it was.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you're in second grade and you're doing homework and you're crying and the parents
yep.
crying, everyone knows there's something wrong, and there's shame. I think one of the reasons, my opinion is, one of the reasons that we haven't gotten farther in this is that parents don't speak out. They, you know, you get around parents and they'll say, hey, what's your child doing for sports? You know, how are they doing? What's their stats? But we don't sit around and say, hey, my child can't spell the word what. What about your child?
Yep.
And so decoding dyslexia has brought that shame and put it aside and allowed parents of dyslexic children to gather and talk, come together. And, you know, I'll just say this now while we're talking about it. Next week, well, actually it's not even next week, in a couple days on Wednesday, we're having a lobby day where we're going to meet in Sacramento and promote this bill and ask our legislators to support it and support our kids and support struggling readers.
Nice. And we have all that on the website for you. The bill, the petition, and also a link to decodingdyslexia.net. So we're going to come right back with the Lisas and finish up to the top of the hour. We're talking about dyslexia. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. So there you go. There's a dyslexia song. Only Bob could find it.
What's it saying?
Yeah.
Is this love or dyslexia?
Wow, we got to listen to that one again.
Sometimes I see things right from left, and I know that's not right at all. Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper. Okay, well, speaking of famous people, you're rejoining We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We are finishing up the top of the hour with our topic of dyslexia. The second hour, we'll be having a guy from Israel who's going to talk to us about how they move from high school to the Army and why and how that all works out for them in their culture. I think it'll be a really interesting look and you'll like it. So, okay, back to the topic at hand. Bob did a little homework over here in his handy-dandy world. He found us some famous people that he said we were going to be wowed by.
Yeah, names of some of the many talented and accomplished individuals who are dyslexic or historic figures who had that pattern in the entertainment industry. They include Jennifer Aniston, Harry Belafonte, Jim Carrey. You mentioned Whoopi Goldberg. Also on this list is Jay Leno, Keanu Reeves, Billy Bob Thornton, Vince Vaughn. Some of the...
Love him. He's hilarious.
Some of the artists, designers, and architects, Leonardo da Vinci, Tommy Hilfiger, Pablo Picasso.
I see Einstein.
That explains
on the
a
list.
Lot about the art, though.
That's right. on the inventors and scientists section, Albert Einstein, also Thomas Edison, and Anne Bancroft, not the actress, but the Arctic explorer. Alexander Graham Bell is another. Military heroes include George Patton and Stonewall Jackson.
So apparently you can pretty much be whatever you want to be.
And you can even be a writer.
And musicians include Cher, John Lennon, and Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. And athletes include Magic Johnson, Muhammad Ali, and Nolan Ryan.
That's right. Mm. So well, before
maybe I'm not damaged.
No.
Even though you can't
no,
tell left from right.
You're not.
So it seems to me that I should stop making fun of Bill.
I have issues with left and right, too.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
I can make fun of you,
I
too,
have
then.
I do L for left, right. I have to write for right.
Well, that's what those kids meant when they put an L on their forehead every time they look at
it. They're trying to figure out which way
okay.
they're going, they just don't
I feel
know
so
it.
Much better now.
Okay, so before we
yes,
run out of
screw
time
around
here,
and lose time.
Here
yeah.
is, like, some important topics. Decoding Dyslexia California has a website, and we would like you to join us there. And it is decodingdyslexiaca.org. decodingdyslexiaca.org. We would love you to sign up for the email list so that you can be blasted out how to stay informed, how to participate. Like Lisa mentioned, we do have a lobby day on March 25th, and we on our website have information on AB 1369. We definitely need petitions signed. We need letters written to our assembly people, members. And the more the better, because then it's like the outcry of the community that says we need help. And decodingdyslexiaca.org. And Lisa, is there anything you were going to focus on in the last couple of minutes we have on the radio?
I just wanted to say, if you have listeners who are not in California, mm-hmm. that Decoding Dyslexia is in all 50 states as well as four provinces. So, and there are, I can't remember exactly, but 18 states that have already passed laws. So if you're out of California, go to the main Decoding Dyslexia site, and you can see for your state what's going on.
And then Decoding Dyslexia for Lobby Day does require registration. So when you're at our site, please let us know you're attending. And if you... there's a possibility of a webinar this evening. If you'd like to join us, just let the decodingdyslexiacalifornia.org page know that you'd like to attend that via web, of course. And then some other things that we would like to make you aware of, too, is there's the Congressional Dyslexia Caucus. It's bipartisan, which means both houses should be concerned about this. And, again, there's the Congressional Dyslexia Caucus. We'll make sure the link gets up later today.
And actually, I just posted the full committee hearing.
Okay, great. And then that's the other thing. There's the full committee hearing.
Yeah, the caucus. I'll do that right
that
now.
That happened September 18th. And Sally Shayerwich from Yale, which I may have just pronounced her name incorrectly, said that there is an action gap, not a knowledge gap. There's been research for years on how to help dyslexic students.
Nice. So my understanding is that if we are still having all this, we're still talking about it, it's not really, I know labels are bad, but, you know, it's a good word, that if kids aren't being identified, how's that?
Qualified for special education.
If that's still not happening, what the heck is going on in our schools and why aren't they doing it?
Anybody want to chime in on that?
I would say that there's been a lot of, there ends up being a lot of focus on the kids who are being disruptive. And I find that the kids who have dyslexia kind of get by and they're sort of just, they're not a focus. And I think the schools feel like they're doing something because they have this RTI program, but they're not realizing it's not effective. And, you know, our school district said something very interesting. They said one of the things that they want to work on is getting the data and having the data drive the intervention. And that's a key point, because if you gather all the data in the world, doesn't matter if it doesn't drive the intervention.
Yeah, no kidding. If the kid never gets any help, they wind up dropping out. They wind up with our giant prison population, all that other bad stuff. Well, ladies, how tough is it to get the word out? Are people pretty, you know, pretty interested in having this promoted, or no? Is this a hard sell?
I think we have over 5,000 electronic petitions. I'm sure Toby can update us with more, but we still need to get the word out because the parents are isolated, I think.
And so, you know, ultimately we need teachers training. That's part of the goal. Again, identification of the students, use the word. Again, train the teachers, offer the accommodations, offer the assistive technology. And the more parents, the more grandparents, the more educators that want to join in on this, the better. Because we all have a voice and we can make a difference. We can actually save lives if we make these changes.
That's awesome. So I've added all that other stuff. We may add things later, so come back to the page for today's program. It'll be on there. Send the link to your friends. Send it out through Facebook. Put it on Twitter, that kind of stuff. The address will not change. It'll be there for you. So you are listening to We the People Radio. We've been joined by Lisa from the North State, Lisa from the South. And thank you very much, Lisa, on the phone for pitching in on this. Thank you, Toby, on the chat and everybody else. That was very, very helpful. We're going to come back with a different guest, different topic. We're going to talk about the Israeli army from the high school standpoint, like going in, you know. It'll be fun. You'll like it. Bob, anything?
Yes, hour two of We the People is next on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
You're the best.